so you could surrender her to the goldsmith. A part of the existence. Then second story was the parrot. Talked about, look at you, understanding whatever it is, right or wrong, or whatever you know comes from your observation. And your observation is, first of all, superficial, because you only see the faces. And you judge the things superficially. The third story is the story of counting on your personal effort. So counting on your personal effort is something that is there. Like the intelligence which is there. Naturally is there. But like everything else, has a limit. This one's limit is at the barrier of animal and human being. Because an animal, the main thing is a competition between the species. There is no co-working. Co-working is, there is some co-working in animal based on superiority, the power, the ladder of the power, but working with each other is something else. Working with each other, with working in each other, I'm not referring to the working you do like the animal do in the herd. Linking to each other, with ideas and understanding, touching each other's soul, not co-working like the militants or co-workers in the working place. There is something else which we'll talk about later very seriously. It's actually the beginning of book two. Means the essence of the knowledge. Rumi will put it in one verse and he says, there is something that, if you understand that, then okay, we communicate. The necessity of understanding something, the meaning of we, not us, we. An inclusive we which doesn't exclude anything, anything universally, totally, that meaning. How are you going to understand that meaning? Because that stuff physically doesn't exist. There is no physical connection like that, because that one passes even the dimension of time, because we are so interconnected that the connection by we, I don't mean us in this moment. It means everything that exists in this single moment is us. There was another moment that there was them, historically, right? 2,000 years ago. So this is us. Even if you expand your mind to the horizon of galaxies and infinity. You should add to it the infinite dimension of time. That's we. Because something is happening and this is one frame of that moving stuff. How are you going to understand that? By competing with each other? By relying on the most primitive stuff in that life, animal life. And he even went to a degree to call it what? Do you remember? He said, this is the worst and the most difficult passage in this path. Do you remember that?
Envy.
Jealousy. I said jealousy. He said there is no more difficult barrier in this path. And that's the first thing that you should pass. This verse was in the last paragraph we read last time. Remember that? The number was 432. Peter? Starting 432. Pardon me?
You want to start at 432?
Yes. Thank you.
In the way, there is no harder pass than this. O fortunate he who is not companioned by envy. This body, you must know, is the house of envy, for the household are tainted with envy. If the body is the house of envy, yet God made that body very pure. Cleanse my house, ye twain, is the explanation of purity. It is a treasure of light, though its talisman is of earth. When you practice deceit and envy against one who is without envy, from that envy black stains arise in your heart. Become dust under the feet of the men of God. Throw dust on the head of envy, even as we do.
Okay, here is when where we left last time. He actually went out of the story to mention something special. Now he's coming back because this king has a vizier, means the second guy. This second guy normally is the is supposed to be the cleverest guy, to be the right hand of the king. It presents the wit, that cleverness, that special stuff, you know, high IQ, something like that. This is the vizier. And he made all these statements to come to a conclusion, actually, which we are going to see in one paragraph, which is the explanation of the envy or jealousy of a vizier. And he will begin with declaring right to the point that this vizier, which is doing all this, is actually ruining the nose, ruining the mouth, ruining everything. This is exactly the jealousy, is working with the jealousy, is there to attend to that, because in animal life, competing needs all the wit of the animal. Animal is witty to compete. When we're talking about the higher level of humanity, which competition is silly, we are not even accepting the level of co-working, not coexisting, co-inspiring. There are things that we'll talk about later. Yes?
That petty vizier had his origin from envy, so that for vanity he gave to the wind his ears and nose, in the hope that by the sting of envy his venom might enter the souls of the poor. Anyone who from envy mutilates his nose makes himself without ear and without nose.
See, this is the irony. When the jealousy, the envy, is really deep down, is wishing some harm to someone. An envious fellow will try, will think about hurting someone else. The irony is, it will hurt only himself. Because with this jealousy, the jealous person will lose two senses. The sense of the smell and the ear, right? If somebody loses the sense of the ear, what will happen?
They won't hear the word.
Then the Masnavi is not for them. Because this book, precisely, instead of in the name of God and things like that, it starts with listen. And you know how difficult listening is. All of you, you're talking now. Your mind, you're talking constantly. Listening. So, losing it, whoever will do it to self. This is self-harming. Yes?
The nose is that which catches a scent, and which the scent leads towards an abode. Whoever hath no scent is without a nose. The scent is that scent which is religious.
Uh-huh. Problem. Translation. There are four words coming from two languages with one simple meaning, really the simplest. But you could add a lot of artificial addition to these simple meaning, maybe with intention to divide them to four. The words are tariqat, shari'at, mazhab, deen. These are four words with one meaning. The meaning is that old, archaic keyword of path in the beginning of Buddhism. Path. All four words, they mean path. But, of course, they mean religion. You could translate it to religion, some of them. And some of them is translated to Sufism, mainly Shari'at is the religion, Tariqat is the path of the Sufis, and Madhab is normally a sect out of the religion, thing like that. And Din is religion. But none are. The meaning is the path. Here he's talking about the path. And why I insist upon this, because Rumi will do it several times, that will explain something in a way that you cannot cheat. Because he knows that you could cheat. Do you know how you could cheat here? Oh, it's very easy. This text could be cheated to have as many different ideas you could imagine. It could be brought out of this. Just because it is poetic language. Poetic language is like that. In poetic language, the reader is free to take all the secondary or, I don't know, down to the line, one of those almost relevant to this meaning, and imagine something. So what? You could look at Mona Lisa de Gioconda as a sexual object. Being of pervert will do it. This is art. This is the language. And he knows that. Remember, he's a good teacher. He knows that all of you will romanticize about this word, we'll do that, we'll do that. And there are times that he needs to give you a definition. How would you do it if you were the teacher? Any of you? None of you are teachers?